is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Everybody. Today, we talk troubled teens and ask these questions. Who or what is making them act out badly, misbehave, such that they are running away from home, skipping school, joining gangs, and committing crimes allegedly as serious as murder? And when will our nation and our nation's leaders take serious pause to get to the root of teen issues and find true ways to fix them? My guest today is a probation officer, and his take on teen issues may in some way surprise you as he breaks down the root causes of teen misbehavior like never before. And he really wants the public to know that seeking early intervention in a brewing family situation may be the key to resolving that situation early. And he also says that even in the most grievous of situations, there is still help and hope available. So, teen parents and guardians, if your family has a troubled teen or teens within its confines, this is the show for you. And for those who do not face this issue, please remain tuned in anyway. For in the mix of conversation, you never know what you might learn. For you might yet uncover that there are ways in which you too can help to make teen lives a whole lot better. I am attorney Indiana Fitzgerald, your guest host for this morning, and you are listening to Guardian Radio AM Live on 96.9 FM.
Good morning, everybody. Attorney Indiana Fitzgerald in your company. And as always, it's such a pleasure to be with you. I'm not alone in studio today, for as I indicated earlier, we're talking about a very important subject matter, and it revolves around our teenagers, our troubled teenagers in the nation of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So here, joining the discussion with me, is Mr. Angelo King. He is a probation officer. He is a part of the Department of Rehabilitative and Welfare Services. In particular, the probation unit. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I try to bring you the very best here in terms of guests and conversation. And he is one of those people that could keep you just totally enthralled by what he has to say. He has a wealth of experience in this area, dealing with teens, dealing with young persons. So what he has to say, I believe you can trust. And what he has to say may be very surprising to you on top of that. So I hope you stay tuned in for this powerful hour. Mr. King, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Indy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm doing fine.
Good. So tell me, Mr. King, when you work, let me first set the foundation for this conversation today. I wanted to talk about this issue of troubled teens because I'd been on my Facebook account looking and seeing what was there, and so many instances of missing young persons were popping up on my screen, and missing young persons here in the Bahamas. And it concerned me, and I asked myself, well, why are these children constantly running away? I've never seen it this bad before. And based on that, then I began to say, we need to have a national conversation about it. And if, at the very least, the conversation needs to start here today with me. And so that's why I've asked you to be here. But it's not just children that are running away. I mean, we see our teenagers doing all kinds of things. They're engaged in crime at higher levels than before, very serious crimes.
That's true.
They're skipping school. They're very sexually active when they're not even at the age where they could consent to sexual activity. They're back-talking the parents. It's just a whole lot that's going on with them now, like never before. It's like their trouble is on steroids. And so I wanted you to come in and speak a lot about how parents, what's going on in the homes, why the children are acting out this way, because I don't think they were born bad. They weren't born misbehaving, but yet they are misbehaving today. And I think people will be surprised at the reason that you give. But let's just talk a minute about the department where you work. Okay. This is situated on JFK.
Yes, at the time we are located on JFK.
Yes, and you afford services to young people that
yes.
are in trouble.
Yes, indeed.
And parents who have troubled young people.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Well, with the department, we have what we like to call. It's two particular parts. It's called BPC. It is the Beyond Parental Control.
Right.
And then there are young teens that come to us because they come before the court.
Right.
Usually it's court number two, the juvenile court.
Right.
And then after an intake is done, or sometimes they're sent to us for an intake to be done on them. After that, we do our best to try to see if we can help the parents mm-hmm. and help the teens with whatever issues they're having. Mm-hmm. In the court matter, there's something that is called the probation report.
Mm-hmm.
We do our research mm-hmm. and we prepare a probation report for the court.
Mm-hmm.
And based on our findings, we make a recommendation that is sent to the court, in which the magistrate and a panel also take my recommendation under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find a way to start the rehabilitation process with that teen.
Mm-hmm. And rehabilitation could involve what?
Rehabilitation could include different types of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have community service.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we even have detention.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say with the department, we would like all parents to know that, you know, our job is not to detain your children. Mm-hmm.
Because people come there and they want you, look, I can't control this child. Put this child in Villa Bay Pratt right now or Simpson Penn right now.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And usually that happens because most parents, I don't say most. There are a lot of parents
mm-hmm.
that when they come to us, mm-hmm. they're already frustrated.
Right.
They don't, when you ask them how many help or how many intervention they've had,
mm-hmm. it's
very rare. They'll say something like, oh, I had the police officer talk to them,
right.
or I sent them to my pastor, which is good. I'm not
right.
going to say those things aren't necessary.
Right.
But they've never really gotten real help.
Right.
Now that you come to the department, some parents get extremely frustrated with us because they at that particular point, they just want the child to be detained at the William A. Pratt
right.
Center for Girls or the Simpson Penn Center for Boys.
Right.
And what we as officers try to tell them is, no, we have to work with the child.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you've done,
right.
outside, which in most cases sometimes don't be much.
Right.
We actually have to try with the child.
Right.
And when you get to that issue, that's when you get sometimes backlash from the parents because they're you should listen to me.
Right.
Don't listen to the child.
Right.
I'm the adult. Let's just send the child to the Simpson Penn Center for Boys or William A. Pratt Center for Girls. And we have to let them know that is not procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it was done in the past,
mm-hmm.
but at this present time, that is not the procedure. We actually have to work with the child.
Right.
And sometimes when you talk to the child, in more cases than not, you find out a lot of times the problem is the parent.
Wow. And I think people would be surprised to say that. And parents are probably home saying, who have these troubled kids? What you mean is me. How you mean it?
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before, that I don't mind saying this. I believe at this particular moment inside the Bahamas, parenting is at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
It's considerably at an all-time low. We don't have much families that are together.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've seen children allowed to get away with at
mm-hmm.
such an early age,
mm-hmm.
and then you want... I'll give you a scenario, just a quick one.
Mm-hmm.
We have young boys that are, let's say, around the ages of 13, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
that are paying bills, and I'm talking about real bills.
In the home.
I'm paying real bills in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Rent, mm-hmm. sometimes light, mm-hmm. sometimes giving their siblings money for school.
Mm-hmm.
And mom takes on the approach of, well, this is my little boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he has these responsibilities.
As the son. As if he's their lover or their husband
yeah,
or their boyfriend.
They treat them in that way.
They treat them like an adult.
And then when it's time, like a client I had one before who mm-hmm. wanted to go on a party bus.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go at 12. His mother said no. He was like, no, I'm
going. You mean 12 midnight?
Uh-huh. 12 midnight. He's uh-huh. like, I'm going.
So she wants him to be the child now at 12 midnight and the adult all day long paying the bills.
And he was giving her $200 every single week.
Wow. Because these packing boys, you've told me, we've privately interviewed on this subject yes. matter. We become prepared here today.
Yes.
And you say they make about $300. The mom makes about $250.
Yeah, you have some cases where, yeah. you have a lot of cases where it depends on the circumstances.
He's making more
More than the mother.
Mm-hmm. And then NIV has to come out of her money, not his. So,
no. So
she's getting almost all of that.
Yeah.
But then she still wants to tell him what to do.
She still wants to tell him. And he doesn't see himself as a child anymore.
Right.
He sees himself as an adult.
The man of the house.
The man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a lot of confusion, especially when you get the case where other men now start coming into the house.
Because the mom has a boyfriend now, and the boyfriend won't live here, and he won't rule things.
Or at least stay once in a while. And
yeah.
So that's where you see a lot of...
Clashing.
The clashing start.
Right.
You have parents who are as far as with the... daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. There are mothers who also have female, who have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And they have boyfriends. And in some cases, the boyfriends are significantly older.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be 14, 15 years old, and the boyfriend may be 22, mm-hmm. 24. And the mother knows.
Mm-hmm.
He also helps her with the house.
Mm-hmm.
He also helps her with bills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the daughter doesn't listen, or they get on about it, all of a sudden now, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you do the research, you find out that, no, you know your daughter had a boyfriend
right.
for a while now.
Right.
And you know he was an older gentleman for a while now.
And you know she was probably having sexual relations with this man at an age when she shouldn't have been, maybe.
Sometimes the boyfriend stays inside the house
mm-hmm.
for late hours at night.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the daughter's allowed to go out. You would be shocked, even right now inside the country, if you were to go out in some social events
mm-hmm.
or some social clubs.
Right.
At 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
how many underage children are out
mm-hmm.
partying, drinking, and doing all of the...
Hooking up with other fellas.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it baffles me to say... Where are your parents?
Mm-hmm.
Where are your parents? If the police was to go in some of these places and actually...
Take stock of who's in there. Mm-hmm.
Gather everybody up who doesn't have an ID.
Mm-hmm.
And basically round them up in the bus, get them to the police station, ask the parents. I would really like to know exactly mm-hmm. what would be the excuse
mm-hmm.
to find out why you have your son or your daughter out 12, 1, 2 o'clock inside the morning, 11 o'clock inside the morning.
Even a school night?
Even
maybe.
A school night.
Mm-hmm.
Females with weave in their hair, nails. It really is amazing because I would really like to know what excuse can you give me or give the court or
right.
give even police officers
right.
on why this is happening.
But I think too, it's like a full societal breakdown because those business persons that operate these clubs and these discos and these party ventures should be making sure who they have in there. At a proper age. And even if these young ladies produce an ID, sometimes they have fake ID. So they need to be detecting within themselves, hey, this girl should not be here. But I guess they don't worry because they say the police ain't coming here to lock up nobody for being here, for having people underage in here. So the cycle just continues. The mom doesn't do their part. The dad doesn't do their part. The business disco doesn't do its part. The police may not be stepping up the way because the police are stretched.
Yes.
I think I heard a report over the weekend where they're saying they're short. I don't know if they said 900 officers or whatever it is. So they're stretched. And so this wicked cycle continues.
Yeah. Yes, it does. I agree. All of us needs to play a role. The community needs to play a role.
Mm-hmm.
The church needs to play a better role. The police officers need to play a better role. The community. Everybody, but we have to change the mindset on how we raise our children. You have sisters who have children. Their brother cannot give their child no direction.
Mm-hmm.
There is an issue. Everything is, don't touch my child. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing to my child. If you see a young lady doing something she ain't supposed to be doing, if the neighbor says, mind your business, you need to worry about your children. Right. So if you have a society that's like that, that nobody can say anything mm-hmm. to anyone, to nobody's children, that you can give no sense of direction,
mm-hmm.
then this is what we're going to get.
Let's talk about the hurtful language that parents may use with their children, and therefore the children will react in a certain way. Those who say, I should have aborted you, or get from round my house. I don't want you here no more because you this and you that, or I never love you. I always love your other brother or your sister better. Let's talk about how that affects these kids.
Well, that has a real effect on young kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've had situations where mothers and fathers have been verbally brutal to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that sometimes kids can get out of hand and they can say some things, but mm-hmm. you're the adult.
Yes.
You're the adult. You're supposed to be better. You cannot go down to your children's level and start having such conversations with them because they're at that particular time upset or emotional. Now, mm-hmm. I will tell any parent, don't let your children talk to you any type of way.
Right.
I'll be the first one to tell you that. But at the same time, there is a level that we expect you to operate on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a maturity level you have to operate. And we have a lot of parents that, when I say they are brutal, we've had a mother that came into the department one time
mm-hmm.
that literally told her daughter, the only reason you're here is because your father didn't want to give me the abortion money.
Wow.
Now, when you find out that was said, and then you come into the office and you said, my daughter is misbehaving, or she's being rebellious, or she's having certain, you know, attitude, or she's getting loud and being mm-hmm. disrespectful. I don't believe no child should be disrespectful to their mother, but mm-hmm. at what particular point you believe saying something like that, how mm-hmm. do you think a child is going to feel or act towards you?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, especially with the girls, a lot of girls, daddy issue is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy issue is a serious thing. And I always try my best to try to tell mothers that, you know, your biggest responsibility is to your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's your biggest responsibility. And whatever you decide to do in your private life, try your best to keep it private. And if it is open now where you actually want to start a family, you know, the home was broken at that point and you're trying to mm-hmm. build some type of family, you have to think about what type of man you're bringing around your children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can't just be, he's make this, he's make that. What type of example mm-hmm. is he going to set for your daughter? Because mm-hmm. if he's hitting you every day and he's seeing you talk to mm-hmm. him every day, any type of way,
mm-hmm.
what you think your daughter's going to say? Even if she knows deep down her mind, well, he shouldn't be talking to my mommy like this.
Mm-hmm.
At some particular point, you're basically saying, hey, once you could provide this or do this or I like these type of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's acceptable. And this is what you have, and this is what we have our young teens, young, especially young girls growing up believing.
And so they go out there and find a man who could take care of them in the same way the man was taking care of their mom. And they're taking some beating, but they're getting a couple dollars for the hair or the clothes or the nails or the cell phone or whatever it is.
And at that particular point, you weren't even supposed to, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
you're not even supposed to be in those type of relationships at that age. You're about 15, 16, 14.
Yeah.
You have grown adults that during breakups cannot function. I'm talking about migraine, headache, crying,
right.
emotionally distraught. You have children that's supposed to be getting ready for school. You have GLAAD exam, BJC, BGCSE,
mm-hmm.
college prep. You have all these educational institutions and
mm-hmm.
different exams and trying to become the best individual you could be.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got time to because it could lead into a breakup. And let's be honest, most kids at that age aren't mature.
Mm-hmm.
And most boys ain't into nothing serious at that age.
Right.
So when you get your heart broke and you're supposed to be studying for BGCSE and you mm-hmm. can't because you wondering about what he doing, you crying, you have a migraine headache because he's saying he don't want you no more. You on social media arguing with another female
mm-hmm.
about who he want. It doesn't make any sense.
And, you know, when you think about daddy issues, I really wish we had a whole day to deal with that topic alone because, you know, I know of situations where you, for example, had married men go out there and make children with a woman. And the children say things like, well, you know, when I see my daddy out, his wife can't know that I'm his child. So my mom says, say, he's your godfather. So when the child sees their father, he says, hi, God. He or she says, hi, godfather. And that does something to them. And one, I was told of a scenario in which a young boy had, you know, he had done something really bad that was damaging to his father's business.
Okay.
You know, it involved a robbery. He was part of an alleged robbery of the father's business.
Okay.
And everybody said, well, why would you rob your own daddy place and go with strangers to do it, right? I'm talking about gun and everything involved, allegedly, right? Okay. Because the matter never came to a certain level. And I'm made to understand that person. Said, but because my daddy always, my mom is his sweetheart. And he just dropped by every now and then. And he won't come by only to discipline or to sleep with my mommy. And I don't have no respect for him. And I just couldn't take it no more. And he has these other kids. And he's doing all these wonderful things with these other kids. And I'm only getting the crumbs from the table because I'm the sweetheart's child. So I fixed that. And I did go ahead. And I did get myself involved with these other people. And we did rob this place, and it is what it is. But the lucky thing was that nobody died.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yes, you do have fathers. We understand what country we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Most people say it's a sweetheart country, for better or worse.
That's the Bahamian dish.
Yes.
And not peas and rice.
But I'll say this. Yes, that is an issue. Men should try their best to have, in my opinion, try their best to limit themselves,
mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to making children,
mm-hmm.
with different women.
Mm-hmm.
But this is still, it still has to be said, there is still some onus on both ends.
Right.
Yes, the man, but we have females, we have mothers that know the situation these men are in. And you go out there and you can, and you have you're doing yourself a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing a man is married or he isn't willing to commit and you have a child for him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he wrong for maybe stepping out on his marriage? If he is married, if that is the case, if he's married, is he wrong for stepping out? Of course, he's wrong for stepping out on his marriage. But at the same point, where's your responsibility?
Yeah, both of y'all wrong.
Both of y'all wrong. But we all know what happens. Mm-hmm. The child never looks at their mother being wrong.
Mm-mm.
They're going to look to the father and say, well, you ain't do this, you ain't do that. And you know, it's hard for, you know, people look at, you know, themselves and say, well, mom, you know, you should have never been inside the situation or you should have never put me inside the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I said we need to have real discussions.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have real discussions. It may be emotional. It may trigger some people.
Mm-hmm.
But until you have these discussions, this is the only way we can actually come to a solution because it's clear right now what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't working. And there isn't any... And I mean, I have my own resolution on how to solve some of this, but yeah. I have my own resolution. But
you know, we have to do a part 2, 3, 4, and 5 because we have a lot to talk about.
Well,
this needs
to
be a series.
No problem.
But when you have situations in these families, are we saying parents, I know you said the situation exists where the mother will allow the daughter's boyfriend to take care of things in the home, but are we actually seeing parents prostituting their daughters like I've been hearing? And prostituting their sons as well. I know I was told very recently by a very reliable source that, you know, there was a matter before the courts with a young person who was out there committing sexual offenses against minors. So both parties were young, the offender and the victim. And eventually the person was caught. And in some instances, they were allegedly even sodomizing these young victims. And come to find out, when the whole story was told, the young person's indication, I am told, was that the father used to prostitute the offender. And his reaction to that was, then I'm going to go and molest some little children and I'm going to sodomize them. And he was the offender was being prostituted to men.
Well,
so, you know, is that what we're doing out there for a couple dollars now?
Well, I'll say this. There with the young men, you really don't see that often. I'm not saying there you're not going to see it at all.
But it does happen.
It happens, but it's real. It's real. Usually you don't see it. Now, with the females, you know, we like to say prostitution, and, you know, it's indirect prostitution.
Right.
Because you have young ladies that are having sex, and young men, especially older men, they're doing things for these young ladies, and it's a form of prostitution because the ladies won't be with them unless they know they could actually support them.
Right.
You know, if this, but I mean, I'm sure it's been before me, but when I was in school, it's the same thing. Girls in junior high didn't want to like girls in junior, I mean, boys in junior high, they wanted to like boys in high school. Boys, girls in high school didn't want to like boys in high school because they say they can't do nothing for me. They wanted to like young men who are out of school. For some reason, women are naturally hypergamous. So they're always going to look for something higher level or higher stature at their particular age. Now, when you have that, this is the issue. Mom of three or four kids. The young lady, she's 15, she's the oldest. She has a job. She has two small kids that are probably still in Pampers or milk, and then another one with probably like 8 or 9. She doesn't make enough money solely by herself to take care of all those kids. So a lot of times what you have is the oldest one with 15, she has to find a way for herself. I wouldn't say the mother don't care, but in actuality, she don't care. So the boyfriend is the one who's paying for her weave. The boyfriend is the one who's paying for her nails. The boyfriend is the one who's giving her lunch money. The boyfriend is the one who, in some cases, I've even seen paying for school books and school uniform. Because the money with mother has only is enough to pay for Pampers, milk, and whatever guy she's having some type of relationship with, even if it is stable. He's doing so much, so...
And then she got to go to social services for the rest.
She got to go to social services for the rest, so the young lady is basically telling her to fend for herself. Now, what you think is going to happen when you see the boyfriend who gives her the money for school, pays for a school books, pays for a school uniform, make sure, because we understand now, social media is a serious issue, so they're looking at other females. This other female have weave, this one out of there, so they want to feel, they want their self-esteem to... To be, so,
and they're looking at females in our jurisdiction, all these flashy love and hip hop females who are there in the States,
city girls, music stars. Everybody trying to live up to a lifestyle, social media lifestyle, fake lifestyle. So who you think she's going to listen to? When mom said, where you going or who you with? Deep down, you can't tell me nothing. He's the one who's paid for my phone. When I asked you for a phone, you told me you ain't got no money for no phone. He paid for my phone. He's the one who's giving me lunch money every single day. He's the one when I want to go out, if I want to go to the movie, so I need something, he say, put this $50, put this $100 inside your in your pocket. He's the one who's doing it. So, and this is also where the daddy issues comes in, because if you don't have a father who's around and who actually shows you love.
And value.
And really value
you. I'm telling you, you have value. You don't need to reduce yourself to this.
Correct. They look at the boyfriend as that love. Even if it really isn't love, that's the only thing she knows. So that's an issue also.
And let's talk about parents not being willing to have certain discussions with their children. For example, I was talking to you, I shared about, you know, particularly this issue with a lot of teens now are homosexual.
Yes.
And, or lesbian or whatever they call themselves, right? And I met a young man years ago, and he was telling me the story about how, you know, he lived in this glamorous home in a glamorous area. But his parents couldn't accept he was gay. And so because he couldn't talk to them about it, he resorted to his peers who lived that lifestyle. Okay. They were going out in hotels, and they were doing raucous things in hotels. And he was saying he'd gotten saved. But you could see the drawer was still there to go back. And another time I had been in a store, and the store owner said to me, you see this young man coming here? I'll tell you a story when he leaves. And when the young man left, he said, you know, this young man had been pursuing a homosexual lifestyle and the age. And, you know, they're supposed to even be having that kind of sexual relation with anybody, male or female. And that the father, to get that child out of that lifestyle, he just couldn't stand that his son wasn't going to be a big butch man. He sent him away, but the boy came back with the same spirit. So, you know, and then you have some parents who are so strict that you can't say things like, do what I say, not what I do. Children should be seen and not heard. And this is a new era now. These children are not like you and I, who probably could have taken that kind of instruction and not rebel. be just to sit in the corner, you know, a beaten comment. This is a new generation now.
Yeah, we have a new generation. A lot of the reason we have a new generation, like I say, because of the parenting. The parenting has changed a lot.
Right.
You know, back then you actually had parents who actually spent time with their children.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, and you find time, you found time for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have now is go to work 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
come back home get off 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cooking, then you have to cook. If you're mm-hmm. bringing home food, that's mm-hmm. what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Then most people have relationships.
Mm-hmm.
This one calling boyfriend, this one calling girlfriend, or mm-hmm. how this one day is going.
Mm-hmm.
They sit up inside their room. The kids are on iPod inside the room.
Right.
Parents ain't even checking to see if the homework is completed. They on iPod and they're on phone. Mother's inside the room on Netflix or she on phone, gossiping mm-hmm. what's going on for the day and who liking who and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people business.
Mm-hmm.
So you really ask the question, and most parents really need to ask, how many times... Time is not y'all two in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
How many time mm-hmm. do you really spend with your daughters and your sons?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason how we get to that particular point. Now, speaking on the issue of the homosexual activities,
mm-hmm.
this is the best way I look at it. We've had clients, multiple clients that have come in that are, you know, young ladies that like other ladies, young mm-hmm. men that like other men.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at the age to have any type of sexual relationships.
That's what you tell them.
That's what I tell them at this
mm-hmm,
age.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even get into as far as with them. Now I have a mm-hmm. conversation with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers seem to be more, I wouldn't say accepting,
mm-hmm.
but they can kind of get over certain things.
The homosexual issue, yeah, or lesbian
they can
issue.
Kinda, they can kind of...
They could swallow it.
They could swallow after a while.
Yeah, but daddy can't swallow it.
No, daddy can't. No. Most dads ain't swallowing that.
I need a man for a son.
Yeah, they will shut that down. You see, most men ain't budging.
Right.
That isn't going to happen. Now, like I said, the issue with what we're having is the fact that at that age, you're not supposed to be having these type of interactions mm-hmm. and relationships mm-hmm. nonetheless. So we can start there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, some people try and muddy the water and say, it's because mm-hmm. at this age,
mm-hmm.
they're not supposed to have these type of relationships.
By law.
By law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said before, people don't understand the type of trauma that comes with breakups. You really can be emotionally and mentally distraught
mm-hmm.
if your heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, or you felt that you've been used, or someone didn't, you love someone so much and they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, most kids, I don't want to say most kids, just about all kids know, can't handle, adults can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
At that age. So, I mean, that's the best way I can look at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the issue of molestation. You know, it really hurts me when I hear women, and I'm a woman, and I hate to hear the women say, "These little girls so fresh. When they get raped, they ask for it." You know, like the other day, there was that situation with I think it was a 14-year-old had the baby for the 20-something-year-old. It was the bus driver or something. Everybody was condemning the victim,
yes.
Right? But
He got some backlash, too. He got some backlash.
Yeah, he got a little spanked. But she really got the whole dump truck put on her head.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, sometimes things that have happened to you and your family make you the way that you didn't come in the world full with this, all this sexual energy to just release. Sometimes you molested, and that takes you into the situation where you then become more promiscuous as a result of that.
That is
you got uncle, you got daddy, you got, sometimes you have these blended families and you thinking the child from the other party to the relationships, son or whatever, treats your daughter like brother and sister. They don't see your daughter as their sister. They see your daughter as a sexual opportunity. So you got molestation in blended families,
yes,
even.
Of course, you definitely do. Mm-hmm. And that also, like I said, come down to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, like I said, no one is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But in some of these cases, you shouldn't even have your children, especially daughters. Because mm-hmm. we're most of the time we're talking about molestation. I'm just saying, it happens to boys now. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It happens to young men.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, most of the time it's happening to young girls.
Mm-hmm.
You really have irresponsible parents that put their children in that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. I'm not saying in all cases, but in most cases, these families know who the pedophiles is inside the family.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone know Uncle Drew is mm-hmm. the one who's the little pervert inside the family.
Mm-hmm.
He come to functions We had his funerals, weddings. But everybody playing them. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that's the one right there you got to keep your eye on. So in some cases, you even have mothers telling their parents, hey, listen, you don't never go nowhere but Uncle Drew by yourself. Everybody knows. But everyone's laughing. And then sometimes the family wants to keep it a secret, mm-hmm. you know, especially shame, especially the grandmothers. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you know, that's, yeah, I ain't mm-hmm. saying your brother was right for what he do. And mm-hmm. child, so, and the kids know, you know, and mm-hmm. everyone's keeping it a secret. So, like you say, when they become older, mm-hmm. this is an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, they already experience, you know, this type of, they already had this type of experience, mm-hmm. and then now they are.
And it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. And they're acting.
Right.
Acting on it now.
And then big people can't control their sexual urges. So how we expect the 14-year-old, yeah. the 13-year-old, the 15-year-old to comprehend this, what's happening? They can't talk to mommy about it. They can't talk to daddy about it. Some parents, you tell, I've been molested, they don't believe you.
Yes, and that's another thing. You have a lot of people, they don't believe. And most cases, sometimes they do believe. They just tell the parents, they just tell the kids that.
I ain't going there with that.
Leave that alone. Mm-hmm. We can handle that. And then when you keep it a secret, you know what happens? Mm-hmm. Because if you keep it a secret, that means the child isn't getting any help. Mm-hmm. That means the child is growing up with no type of counseling. Mm-hmm. No type of counseling.
Right.
So the child is already traumatized and they're growing up. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do. At least you're doing nothing mm-hmm. to actually help the child, you know, rehabilitate or get their mind back on track or your emotions back on track and learn how to deal mm-hmm. with such an issue.
So you raise a dysfunctional child that turns into a dysfunctional adult.
Yes, and then you have
can't keep relationships.
You have certain decisions that is made. But this, the idea of sleepover. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, every parent is advised to do whatever they see them right with their children. I have my views, or mm-hmm. a lot of parents have their views, but I never understood the act of sleepovers. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's staying by this one house.
What?
Yeah, and they'll say, well, my daughter, oh, I asked, ain't no boys going to be there.
Right.
What that means.
Yeah.
What that
Maybe
means.
Maybe no boy living there, but who coming over?
I don't know. Let's don't even go that far. Let's go back to the conversation we just had about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of girls that go to these sleepovers that mm-hmm. like girls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you see that sleepover bag come out, all type of toys, rows, all type of different things inside it. So now your daughter, what, 14, 15, going to a sleepover, mm-hmm. because presumably there's no boys there. Mm-hmm. They got over the after night bike. We got all type of different toys mm-hmm. in the bike. Mm-hmm. Now your daughter getting experience she never had before. Mm-hmm. Then she comes home, and then what happens?
Mm-hmm. And she can't tell you.
And she can't tell you because you... It's correct. She didn't open that door.
Yeah.
And then you try to figure out, okay, how we get to this particular point. Mm-hmm. You have, like I said, you have young girls also going out. Hey, I going to the store. I coming back. They leaving their boyfriend with their 12-year-old, 9, 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. King. Oh, that's my boyfriend. He ain't gonna ever do nothing like that. Or mm-hmm. I leave it. Listen to me. We see cousins. Females who have cousins, my cousin looking after my child. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, how old your cousin is? Oh, he's 21, 22. Mm-hmm. That's his cousin, my daughter. Okay.
And I hear a lot of cases like that.
Yeah, and they get molested.
Cousin, uncle.
Yeah, so it comes down to, come on now, you have to protect your daughters. Mm-hmm. And you have to have conversations with your daughters.
Yeah, let me tell you the saddest story I've ever seen in the AG's office. There's a mother and boyfriend situation. And I guess the boyfriend had a lot of access to the mother's two daughters. And eventually, he gave them AIDS.
Wow.
And so if he gave the daughters AIDS, he had to have given the mother AIDS, right? Because he started the relationship with the mother. And those girls, in the report, it was talking about how these girls would get these venereal warts in their private areas and the painful process of having to remove them every so often. And when that had happened, you know, that was my early days. And that was over 20 years ago. So I don't even know if AIDS medications were around to save their lives. So they're probably all dead by now. But that still haunts me to this day. I don't know if the prosecution of that man ever got off the ground, but I'm just saying that's what happened to their two teen daughters. So you could imagine, you have to go to school living with AIDS, can't let nobody know, and every so often you have to go to the medical facility to have those ward situations taken care of. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to look. These children, these ours, you know, Even if we didn't give birth to them, we in the community, we have to do for them. And that's why I'm going to appeal today. We have a lot of women now in particular. Not to say men aren't supposed to get up and do in the parliament. We have a lot of women in the Senate and a lot of women in the parliament of the Commonwealth of the Palmers for the first time, I believe. I believe this might be a historical record.
Yes, I would say so.
And I would love for you all to please join hands as well. Many of you have children of your own. And your environment may be a good environment, so you're not having troubled teen issues, or your troubled teen issues are minor. But for God's sake, take into consideration that in each one of your constituencies, this situation is going on today. Lock arms. Come up with policies. Join with other women, myself and others. Even if you want to exclude me, fine. But lock arms so we can get a resolution to these issues so our teens can live better lives in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and be the prosperous individuals God has meant for them to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break. This is Guardian Radio AM on 96.9 FM. I'm here with Probation Officer Angelo King. I'm Attorney Indiana Fitzgerald. We'll be right back after this.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
It's back. One of the biggest regattas on the sailing calendar. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th. Yeah. The biggest economic boost for Long Island is back with more than 40 sloops competing in the A, B, C, and D classes, along with the Long Island Youth Regatta and the Man in the Boat Sculling Races. Don't miss this major cultural experience June 1st to 4th, the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond. All of the fastest sloops will be there. Artisans displaying their handmade crafts, jewelry, and scrollwork. Great food, including the world-famous native mutton dishes. And endless memories all await you at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in Salt Pond.
Long Island breeze, your sheep are bleating.
Guardian Media will be broadcasting live at the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta with live updates of the sailing results and activities every day. It's the 53rd annual Long Island Regatta in beautiful Salt Pond, Long Island, June 1st to 4th.
Regatta update, sponsored by the Salt Fiber Rebar. No steal, no big deal. The Dalbina's Agency, distributors of Hunt's Ketchup and Lickety Split, a cool spot for hot shots.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, everybody. Attorney Indiana Fitzgerald here in your company. And I am here with Probation Officer Angelo King. We have been talking about troubled teens in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I think Mr. King has taught us a lot in these last couple of minutes. He told us parents are a lot to blame. You know, we want to blame the kids. We want to say these just rude kids, unruly. The devil must be in them. No. Sometimes the problem is in the home. And I just want to touch on briefly, because our time is short, I just want to talk about the issues of runaway teens, which is, as I said, was the impetus for this show today, Mr. King. And I just want you to tell us about the differences that you say when a boy decides he's actually going to run away from home, as opposed to when a girl decides she's going to run away from home and where they go. So let's talk about the boys first. You told me privately that boys don't normally make the decision to run away.
Usually.
As often as the girls.
No. You don't tend to see that often with the boys compared to the females. What you see a lot of the times with the young boys is, you know, teens can be rebellious.
Right.
So a lot of times it's being rebellious, and a lot of times it's verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to stay there and continue to be verbally abused in this
by his parents.
Yeah, by this day. Now, back in the days, that probably, you know, you probably had to sit there and take it.
But right.
A lot of times now, kids, especially when it comes to their mothers, there's two distinct differences between boys and girls when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
You have boys who come in with their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if they're having issues with their mothers and their mothers are upset or mm-hmm. even, you know,
mm-hmm.
they have certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
Boys tend to be a little bit more respectful.
Of the mummy.
Of the mothers.
They won't say if, and this mummy, my mummy have one load of man coming to that. They ain't gonna say that. But the girl will say it.
Yeah. The boys think you already mumbling their best. I ain't on this ride.
He can suck his teeth and walk away.
You walk off or you was be joking. You kind of can't that. They talk underneath their breath. They kind of get upset. But for some reason, there's some affection with mothers, with boys. They don't want to go that far. Girls will tell you anything.
They can let it
rip. Oh, they can let their mothers know it.
They can let their mothers know anything will come to their mind.
Usually. Uh-huh. That's what you...
But you said to me that when the boys run away, they would normally stay in an abandoned car somewhere in some car that's not being used in somebody's yard and just bathe inside that.
Yeah, we found a friend's
house or something.
We have a lot of boys who've mm-hmm. actually slept in abandoned cars.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of boys, because the gang violence is a serious thing inside the country, so mm-hmm. they'll find a fellow gang member
mm-hmm.
or someone in their age group
to hang
and on. They'll do. And I mean, for better, you know, they don't like me using this word, but for better lack of word, mm-hmm. you know, we have plenty slack.
Houses. Yeah, parents let anybody come in and stay here and
hang up, do whatever they want to do, socialize.
Yeah.
So a lot of times these boys can find some type of safe haven for a night or two. You might not stay there permanently.
Right.
But you can stay there for probably about a week or so.
Until he finds some place to go.
And then they just be from place to place. A lot of times too, it's just responsibilities. Like I said, you have a lot of kids mm-hmm. who probably gets in the way with a lot of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the point and be like, hey, I contribute. I students inside this house.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So you have a lot of times they leave the house. They have certain situations where they live. Now, mm-hmm. girls.
Now, they may go to their grammy.
Yeah, they may go to grammy
to cool off.
Family members. And a lot of times, too, when you hear runaways,
mm-hmm.
I don't want the general public to believe all the time these parents don't know where the kids is. Right. A lot of times, they do know. We've had parents who tell young boys, hey, mm-hmm. listen, get out this house
mm-hmm.
and don't come back.
Right.
Then the boy go. The young man goes.
Then they run into the press, brought him missing. Yeah.
And that time the Grammy then call and say, John, come here, what happened?
Let me see, and
you report him, come on.
And then you say when they go to these places, sometimes they're there smoking marijuana and just chilling.
Oh, marijuana high inside this country.
Oh, my
God.
I didn't drink it.
Most of my clients, when you ask them, they smoke at least 3 to 5 times a day.
Oh, my God. And what ages are we talking, Mr. King?
13, 14, 15, 16,
smoking dope to burn up the brain, because the brain is informed at that point.
No. Prefrontal cortex is what at the age of 25. So
wow. So you're mashing up your brain.
So you have young men,
mm-hmm.
like I say, that have these issues.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't doing nothing in school. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing mm-hmm. I don't understand. You have parents, you ask them in last, they pick up a report card.
Right.
For some odd reason, look like the only time education matters is between the ages of from grade 1 to grade 6.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe grade 7.
They ain't checking for grade 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old students.
When we go to court
mm-hmm.
and you look at those report cards mm-hmm. and you start asking questions,
mm-hmm.
how does your son have mm-hmm. a 0.3 mm-hmm. or a 0.3?
Because as a probation officer, you get that as a part of your probation report. When these children get in trouble, the probation report will say stuff like, the children failing in school. They ain't even coming to school.
I literally get a detailed school report. And at that particular time, you ask, let's just say it's 140 days in the mm-hmm. school year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he missed 40, 50 days.
How?
And I'd be like, and the parents are shocked. I didn't know.
And he living with you.
He missed all those days. He's just sent to school. So mm-hmm. then I said, when last you pick up a report card? Mm-hmm. I picked one up in the last 2 years. So
when you been to PDA meeting?
You ain't been to PDA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't check on the teachers mm-hmm. to ask how your child is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Ministry of Education or at least schools to find out how many actual parents actually come to PDA meeting. I'll be fair to say it probably ain't even 10%.
You said they need to prosecute some of these parents.
In certain circumstances, yes, I totally agree. I think that's the only way we could actually get parenting back on track.
Make them pay fines.
Make them pay, and that's mothers and fathers. That isn't just going to mother, because we understand most of the burden is on the mother. So I don't think it's fair just to put it on
her one.
On the one.
The two of y'all.
Because I guarantee you, if your child's supposed to be going to school, he does not go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows because no one's checking.
Mm-hmm.
He making 0.2, 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
He commits a crime when he was supposed to be in school.
Mm-hmm.
But because you never check, you never know he wasn't supposed to be there. He robbed somebody. Or let's take this under consideration. He robbed someone during school hours because he was supposed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to court and they said, guess what? I charge you $500 as a mother. I charge the father $500. Mm-hmm. Even if the father isn't in the home, you know what the father's going to do? Hello?
So-and-so home.
He home? Listen, let me talk to that boy. Listen,
I
ain't got no money to be spending.
Yeah.
But listen, in fact, you need to come this way. In fact, I can pick him up from school to make sure he stay with me.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
There'll be a better situation.
There'll be a better situation because ain't nobody going to want to spend no money on no fines. Or in some cases, you actually be detained.
Right.
And I'm talking about there need to be a hard cut. Not no mercy because someone come in there crying, oh, I have so much responsibility.
Right.
You said this, that's your child. That's your main responsibility.
Right.
Deal with that. You have kids committing robberies 12, 1 o'clock inside the night. Yeah. What's your 15, 16-year-old doing?
Doing out the house
doing
that
out 12, time. 1 o'clock inside the night to commit any type of robbery. No, you need to, and like I said, if it's a one, it could be a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and you find out, Mr. King, I don't know he was out the house 12, 1 when he gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my report.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in the community and I find out everyone, James always, Mr. King, that boy always out late in the night. And another female, they say they almost out late. They always out late in the night. Clearly, this is something that happens a lot. You need to be prosecuted.
Yeah. Let's talk about quickly. We have 2 minutes left.
All right.
So with these teen girls, you tell me that they're often by their boyfriend's house, locked down, having sex all day. The boyfriend mama is encouraging this. She's buying food for the girls. She's taking care of the girl. The girl is skipping school. She's having relations with the boyfriend all day. And the only time they may jump up and have something to say about the girl being there is when the missing report comes out. We need parents who care about what other parents might be going through when they don't know where their daughter is.
Yeah, because I don't understand a lot of times how boys can just bring girls inside.
No
questions asked. And you can clearly see the female is a young female.
Right.
And I'm Norman. Everyone's in some cases, the mothers, when they cook, they making food for the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or they saying, I go into Kentucky, hey, what you want?
You want
a 2-3 piece?
Mm-hmm.
She inside there, they inside the room, they chilling with AC on, watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
They young. You know they having sex.
Mm-hmm.
They having sex all day. And now when they come in the mission report, come all of a sudden, oh, you know, this girl can't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Why you ain't tell? Come on,
Dougie. And we seeing pregnancies
out of
this? You
see pregnancy, and you know that young girl shouldn't have even been inside your house to begin with. That's why I said, I don't know where as a society we get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just free.
Mr. King, let me give out your number where you're all at on JFK. You, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a troubled teen, you don't have to wait till it gets to the point where you have to put them in boys or girls industrial.
Don't.
Mr. King says you can come in early. They can do some counseling for you. The earlier, the better. 376-3815. 376-3815 is the number to reach Mr. King's division. And I'm told that social services would also like us to give you the national hotline in case you have an emergency matter with reference to any children. 322-2763 or 422-2763. You can pull down this show by tomorrow off the Guardian Radio app if you miss anything here. Much thanks to my guest, Mr. King, Angelo King, probation officer down at the Department of Rehabilitative and Welfare Services. Thank you to my awesome producer, Kermit Ramming. Thank you to you, the listening audience. Thank you to you, the sponsors, my family and friends who pray for me, Mr. Dwight Strawn for the opportunity, and God, my source. I'm attorney Indiana Fitzgerald. I hope this has inspired you to take some steps to help make our country better. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fabulous week, and thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you, Indy.
You're welcome.